Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. After presiding over Tyler Perry Studios, our first guest is setting up her own television empire, A Few Good Women Productions. Michelle Sneed joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Another woman in the new TV venture universe is Diana Wilson, the founder of new TV channel ProfileSports.tv. She connects with us later this hour. And Retroactive Television is the new book from a prolific author of TV-focused reads. Herbie J. Pilato opens our second hour. Also ahead, the daytime Emmy stay with CBS, the Suge Knight story, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Odyssey, Apple and Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, it's Holy Thursday 2023, first full day of Passover 2023, and tomorrow will be televised. Whether you celebrate this or that holiday or something else during this holy week of 2023, we welcome you on this Thursday afternoon to the program All About TV's Current and Future. We got a great one for you over the next 90 minutes and change, so stay with us, tell your friends to tune in, and I believe it's going to be a ball. 72 very cloudy degrees here in the Big Apple at the top of the hour, and if you want to be involved with some thoughts for our guests or questions, well, use the phone. Here's how you do it. Pick it up and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, around Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Or get involved in our chat room to make your voice heard. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Then on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Michelle Sneed from A Few Good Women Productions joins us live from West Hollywood, California, after these news notes. CBS has agreed to keep presenting the Daytime Emmy Awards this late spring and next. Under this contract extension, CBS will simulcast the annual ceremony on Paramount Plus. The Daytime Emmys will mark its 50th anniversary in primetime June 16th, originating from Los Angeles. CBS has carried the event live 16 times over the past half century, more than any other network, broadcast, cable, or otherwise. Iconic and controversial hip-hop performer Suge Knight will be the subject and narrator of a new scripted program will be produced by and play on BLK Prime, a subscription video on demand service featuring multicultural content and available on various smart TV sets and devices. According to a press release, the yet-to-be-named series will explore Knight's life, career, and encounters with other hip-hop icons. Production will take place this summer, with BLK Prime anticipating a fall 2023 premiere. And breaking news, one of the key people at BLK Prime, Executive Vice President Terrence Hatter, will be with us live on TWRB Televised next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Roku is going forward with WWE Recruits, new unscripted profile of men and women aiming for pro wrestling stardom. WWE, on track now to form a new venture with UFC parent Endeavor, will co-produce Recruits and have John Cena involved on camera and off camera as co-executive producer. Filming kicked off last weekend at WrestleMania in Los Angeles. Now, quickies, Amy Poehler narrated Peacock unscripted series The Gentle Art of Swedish Desk Cleaning, that is the name of the program, unfolds April 27th. TNT has reset original drama series The Lazarus Project for launch June 4th. Time-altering themed saga originally was aimed to debut mid-January. David Bowie docu-special Moonage Daydream comes to HBO April 29th. Billboard's first ever Latin Women in Music event, that's Mujeres Latinas en la Música, will appear on Telemundo May 7th. Breaking news, This Is Us Emmy-winning actor Sterling K. Brown and series creator Dan Fogelman will team up again for a new Hulu project. This just broke about 20 minutes ago. Brown will soon appear on Hulu's upcoming miniseries, Washington Black. And Walt Disney promoted Asad Ayaz to a new position this afternoon, Chief Brand Officer. He's charged with elevating Disney Plus and other company services globally. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from West Hollywood, California, in an internet radio exclusive, the former president of Tyler Perry Studios, and now the overseer of the new venture of Fugle and Productions, Michelle Sneed. Michelle, congratulations. Great to have you with us.
For the congrats, and thank you for having me today.
It is a pleasure, Michelle. How far along are you in getting this company, this venture set up?
You know, not my favorite to say or to admit, but we are a startup. It feels like, you know, when you're a startup, we've been doing this, working on this company for over a year. So a startup, it doesn't feel like. But in that vein, We have a few staffers here, a few consultants, and we are developing, and, you know, we've hit the ground running.
Where television is concerned, what's the purpose? What is the aim of A Few Good Women production? What are you setting out to do?
Specifically where television is concerned, and maybe we can refer to it broader as scripted, as, you know, series are still, you know, what we want to see. We want to see these, we want to see more opportunities with, you know, scripted opportunity to be able to represent more of how the world really looks. And so I think that television will forever be important. I think that, you know, scripted content and serialized content will forever be important, whether we're watching it, you know, on our televisions literally or across, you know, some digital platform. You know, we have to be aware, you know, of these changing landscapes and embrace them. And so as far as television for us, it's very important. I think that some of the bigger streamers and networks feel, in some context, in this particular space that we're in now, that we are becoming or could become a bit oversaturated with the serialized programs. And so I think that they're being very strategic more than ever about those selections. And in our space in particular, at least for our next 18-month slate, it's more so focused on limited series, if you will, and features.
Kevin Thompson 9 has just joined our chat room. Welcome aboard, Kevin. You have a question or comment for Michelle, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. In the press release that announced your venture, Michelle, here's what you said, and I'm quoting, "We're building the space that we've always wanted to be a part of, where the most authentic, innovative, and diverse talents, both in front of and behind the camera, can shine, and we, as a highly experienced all-women executive team, can level the playing field by provisioning the deserved compensation, equity, and credit currency for those who look like us and beyond." Why do you think the time is right to do this?
The time is right. If not now, when, Simon? You know, I think that's what, you know, so many of us feel in so many areas and all and in all industries, you know, across the globe, actually. The time is now. I think people are, you know, we're more transparent than ever about these inequities. There's a lot of social causes and attention, of course, especially since, you know, COVID and everything that's transpired, you know, since then and Me Too and all of that. And so why not now? Why not while deals can be made, you know, better than ever before, when opportunity is more flexible than ever before? The time is now, and we want to be a part of that. We, you know, executives that look like me, black women, that is, and others, and women in general, of course. We want the same deals as our counterparts, and equitable deals, deals that takes us far and allows us the resources to be able to do it again and again and to be able to extend those opportunities to others.
And what have you learned from your experience with Tyler Perry and his production complex, his studio complex, everything you've done, whether it's from Oprah Winfrey Network, now BET? What do you want to apply from that experience into this one?
You know, my experience at Tyler Perry Studios over the majority of my career, the last 14 years or so, is like no other. You know, working at a place like that, an independent studio that is still a regular small, a relatively small operation that does huge business, afforded me the opportunity to learn so much, you know, to really truly have a seat at that table and be able to see everything from, you know, operations and facilities even to, of course, production and development, marketing and promotion, distribution and licensing, relicensing, you know, live events, you know, and that experience is like no other. It's somewhat made me an outlier, if you will, because it's a very a volume place. You know, we do everything over and over and over again. And we all know that when you do something over and over again, it makes you very much an expert at it. And so my team who has come with me here, most of us have been working together for years, in and out of Tyler Perry Studios throughout the years. And so I'm very thankful to my honing there over these years because of their very independent model. Our small team handled everything. And so I absolutely gained so much knowledge and experience from my, you know, my time there.
You're hearing Michelle Sneed. She is the former head of Tyler Perry Studios. Now she is operating her own deal. It's the Feel Good Women Productions, based out of California. And that's where we find her today, this half hour, live here on Tomorrow We Televise. Time out, I'm with you live from New York, 70 degrees at the top of the hour. Want to hear from you? Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, we'll start with another female entrepreneur who's also out to make it in the world of television, specifically with getting new TV networks on the air. Her name is Marcy Hamilton. She's the chief executive officer of Tri-Coast Worldwide, and right now she has not one but two television networks available on smart TV sets and devices going. One is Made in Myself TV. It's actually the new do-it-yourself network, and genre-based Dark Matter TV. And yesterday, her networks got a nice boost from Crackle and Chicklin Soup for the Soul Entertainment's parent. We'll find out more about that when Marcy Hamilton joins us in our first half hour. And in our second half hour, as I mentioned before, we'll have the executive vice president of BLK Prime. That's the folks who are doing the new Suge Knight scripted series, Terrence Hatter. So they'll both be with us live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Michelle, are you already getting deluged with people who would like to write and produce series for you?
Absolutely. I mean, we were so impressed with, you know, and overwhelmed in a good way by the response from the announcement of our company. It just shows how many people are looking for these opportunities. And so we've had so much outreach, more than we ever imagined, so much so that we had to adjust the portal on our website because so many people are looking for a solution like this. They're looking for opportunity to have their projects heard by professionals. And get the feedback they want instead of, and, you know, not necessarily having the opportunities with the larger studios. So it's been a great, great response, and we've had a lot of meetings that we're super excited about.
And is there any one miniseries, scripted series, unscripted program that looks like this will be the first one that your company will do?
Yes, yes, we are there. We're a couple of weeks out from being able to announce a co-production with a partner that we're super excited about, and we're, you know, filling all that out now. We'll be able to talk more about it in the next couple of weeks. But yes, there is a particular project that we're super excited about that it looks like is going to green light very soon. And then aside from that, we have a 18-month slate we're focusing on now. And we hope to be in production, you know, this time next year.
One of the things that is separating what you're doing from others is that, as you mentioned earlier, this is more than just a production company. You want this to be not just producing programs, whether it is TV series, made-for-TV movies, et cetera, but you also want to finance them. You want to develop capital, financial capital, not only the individual projects, but the people making them so that they can continue to work for you. What kind of effort has been done to handle that side of your company?
Absolutely. Our primary model is that of a studio model. You know, after working at a place like Tyler Perry Studios for as long as I have and, you know, managing so much there, I don't see any other way to do it. As far as, you know, what the real opportunity looks like. And so what that means is this last year, that's what we've been busy doing, you know, in the private equity space and raising this funding to be able to have that capital control of these projects, to be able to have a real voice and real autonomy on where these projects go and the life of the projects. And so that's what that means for us, is being able to control that majority of the asset, you know, of the IP that's being produced, you know, out there in the licensing and distribution world for a lifetime, so that we can create, you know, these better deals for diverse creators, so that we can create better deals for executives, you know, like myself. And again, this is to afford us the resources and opportunities to be able to reinvest and other creators and executives like us. And that's how, you know, this is built, you know, like our counterparts. And so it's very much a studio model for us, and that's very important to our company.
Lady Di 999 has just joined our chat room. Welcome aboard. If you have a question or comment for Michelle, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Who else is on your key executive team?
So we have our president of our company, so who I've worked with for over a decade, and is also just one of the best people you'll ever meet. It's Sade Gabriel, and she is out of Washington, D.C., but she's been at Tyler Perry Studios with me on and off for years and throughout so many other networks and studios. So she's along with me overseeing the daily operation of pretty much our primary departments across production, development, et cetera. And then we have, at this point, we have two, possibly soon three consultants we're working with. We also have Tracy McGraw, of course, full-time as Chief of Communications, who you know, Simon. And then we have our Head of Operations, which is Tanisha Hubbard.
Mm-hmm. And I know Tracy very, very well, as I have worked with her on many a publicity situation. Either for this show or for previous roles working and covering the TV industry. So, and she's like myself, a Brooklyn person. So, so you've got somebody really great there working with you. And I want to thank Tracy in public well, for you because she arranged this interview, which we've been wanting to do for a very, very long time. So we're delighted that she made that happen. Thank you.
She did make it happen. I've had the opportunity to work with Tracy for years now. Yes.
What kind of feedback are you getting from not only producers who are African-American, but Latino, Asian-American, Native American, disabled community, and so on and so forth, in terms of seeing what you're doing as an opportunity for them to either break into television or expand what they want to do in television?
Simon, you hit the nail on the head. All of the above that you've just named have reached out and been inspired by this model. We've talked shop. You know, we've talked private equity. We've shared notes. It's inspiring, you know, because like anything, if one person does it, then that means that I can do it too. And so that's what it's been like. And so it's just been, again, that reception has been amazing and opportunities to co-produce. And the more that we can co-produce and align ourselves with existing, you know, studios who also have leverage, with us, that just makes the opportunity bigger and better. This industry is a very collaborative space, and you can package it any way you want. Of course, us, you know, maintaining our model, you know, for that majority stake, so that we can, you know, have a voice, a real voice in these opportunities, and as far as the licensing and distribution end of things are going. But absolutely. We've had amazing outreach and like I said, a lot of shop talk, a lot of, you know, how do we do this? How do we figure this out? Some amazing, you know, projects and opportunities across, you know, all demographics.
Mm-hmm. You and your company have an incredibly wide and wider canvas of television services to play with. You've got broadcast, you've got cable, you've got all these mega content services from Netflix to Prime Video to Peacock to HBO Max. And on and on. Plus, you have all these new networks, mostly put together by entrepreneurs like yourself, that are being run on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, multi-channel bundles. You've even got the smart TV players like Samsung, LG, Vizio, Roku, etc. They're creating their own content and their own channels. What do you make of that environment to play with? And have you heard so far, early on from any of these ventures about along the lines of, love what you're doing, let's play?
Yes, I think it's amazing. I think that, you know, this landscape has changed in the last decade or so, of course, as far as the consumer and access. And what it is a result of the producers and executives and investors, you know, listening to the audience. You know, the audience is more sophisticated than ever before. You know, we can communicate with the world in a second. And what that does is allow us to, all of us, to demand what we want to see. And the industry is finally embracing that and figuring out that there's a lot of niche content out there that can be supported, that can be successful, that can be produced in a premium way. So having this, all of these opportunities is amazing because there's something for everyone. I truly believe that. And so that just means for our business, you know, for A Few Good Women, that just creates more opportunity for us. again, to really listen to our audiences, especially, you know, across all diverse angles. You know, everyone's voice and story is important. And so these platforms, some of the bigger streamers, absolutely, you know, those have been some of the most exciting meetings in the last couple of weeks to, you know, partner with them and for them to be a vessel for us. So, yeah, we've absolutely heard from them. And, of course, us being experienced and decorated executives in this industry for a long time, we've been working with the major streamers and networks for a very long time, and we have those, you know, relationships, and they've been supportive. And, of course, like anything in this industry, you know, everything has to align as far as packaging and timing and all of that. But we definitely have the ball rolling, and we're super excited about, you know, those opportunities.
We're talking about the new venture, A Few Good Women Productions, led by our guest this first half hour on Marmy Televised. Joining us live from West Hollywood, California, the overseer of the venture, Michelle Sneed. And if you have a question or comment for her in our remaining minutes with her this half hour, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, LadyDie999 already in the room. Coming up in the next half hour on our program, we have another entrepreneur who's really starting to put things together. Her name is Diane Wilson, and her role is being the head of a company that actually started as a website, then it became a mobile app, and now it's a television network available on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and other smart TV sets, devices, and bundles. The product is called ProfileSports.tv. You'll hear from Diana Wilson in our next half hour. And then in our final half hour, or full half hour, I should say, you'll meet one of the most prolific authors about the world of television. He does it both in book form and also in TV form. His name is Herbie J. Pilato. His latest book is called Retroactive Television, which you also hope to offer as an upcoming classic trivia segment prize. And he's also working on a special that will be on Reels channel near the end of the month about the wonderful actress, the Bewitched star herself, Samantha. That's, of course, Elizabeth Montgomery. That's all coming up in a little bit right here on Tomorrow We Tell Us. Plus, our classic trivia question, the last time we're offering this particular question, so get your thinking caps on. Two prizes in play for you if you're first with the correct answer. You know, there are a lot of advertisers now want to get back into television producing content. There are comic book and graphic novel companies that are out to produce content. Video games are now getting into content because of special things like The Last of Us on HBO. And there's also podcast people who want to turn their podcast into television programming. Are you hearing from any of those different quarters?
Absolutely, definitely in the animation space, definitely in the podcast space for sure, and of course the literary space. You know, just a good old book. You know, film and TV rights. Those are all amazing avenues. Those are particularly of interest to many producers because they are published works. They have audiences. And it just presents other kind of backdoor, if you will, opportunities to create, you know, space in a live motion picture realm. So those are absolutely amazing ways to filter content for sure.
Michelle, as we both know, your former boss is now in the hunt to take a controlling share of BET, along with people like Byron Allen, Sean Diddy Combs from Revolt, and Group Black, the organization that represents a number of different television services. Perry was, I believe, on Entertainment Tonight last night. He was also quoted in the Hollywood Reporter this morning, saying he is beyond interested in getting that controlling share of BET, going so far as to say, I want as much of BET as I can get. What do you think about his chances of being the winner of that controlling stake?
You know, I personally think that, you know, personally, I think that the chance could be high. I mean, that's been home for Tyler Perry television content in particular for the last 5+ years. I think it's been a very beneficial, you know, partnership for both parties. And I think that the audience is there, you know, and I think that, you know, it's a huge possibility. I hope so.
He also said in that interview that he's really delighted that he's got competition, that Byron Allen wants that stake, and Sean Diddy Combs wants that stake, and Group Black wants that stake. Who else is going to join in? And we don't know, you know, where things are at with the negotiations, although a lot of people, insiders, will tell you that he's got the inside track because, as you mentioned, of what he's already doing for BET. And we should point out that his contract with BET as a TV series producer is supposed to be coming up by the end of this year. What do you think about that? Who would have thought that BET would drive so much interest among executives of color, that you would have people of this magnitude that when Paramount, the parent of BET, gives the call out that, hey, we're going to sell a stake in this. And by the way, BET is not just BET. It's BET Her. It's BET Plus, their own mega content service. It's BET Studios, as also VH1, that there would be such interest.
Well, you know, Simon, I'm not surprised, and I think many are not surprised. You know, BET has been around a long time. It's a 40-plus year history. It's synonymous with some of the biggest cultural events and times in our history. The brand recognition is like never before, and there's so much opportunity with that amazing catalog that they have. And so I'm not surprised at this, in the marketplace where these, you know, powerhouses want to be attached, acquire, you know, such an amazing, you know, stable brand that's been here so long. So I'm excited to see it. I think it raises the value and interest even more. I think that any of those entities are close to the culture. I think they understand, you know, how important BET is to the culture. And I think that, you know, any of those entities that would be able to, you know, close this deal, it would be an amazing opportunity for executives like me, for creators, for diverse creatives, and to continue to expand, you know, the BET brand. So I'm super excited to see it. I'm watching along like everybody else.
Are you still coming to grips with the fact that now you're the overseer? You know, you and your team are creating this new venture, and who knows how far it's going to go, but it's all on you now. It's not like you're working for your, you know, for a boss like a Tyler Perry or whoever. This is like all your deal. It's all you. How far are you coming to grips with that? You and your executive team coming to grips that, you know, now it's all on you.
That, like, no pressure, right? But Simon, you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, I never set out to do this. You know, this time, you know, last year, it wasn't this kind of dream I had for so long. It was something that naturally came. It was, you know, as, you know, my team and I were voicing, you know, the inequities that we see and so many of my colleagues and looking at deals and risks they deserve and pay and seeing the data. It was just so alarming to me. And so it's really fueled a lot by my personal passion for this, from my personal experiences throughout the years, throughout colleagues that are close to me, colleagues I don't know, the stories and testimonies that I've heard since we launched our company. So all of that is making me, it's such a passion and a focus that I have that it's allowing me to kind of embrace this and claim the success that we're going to have. And so that is what's, you know, been really supporting me and keeping me focused in that regard. But certainly the last 12 months, wrapping my arm around that. But a friend said something really funny to me. They had asked me, you know, years ago, it popped back in my mind. They asked me, Michelle, you know, why don't you have your own company? And I'm like, I don't want the responsibility. I love embracing other people's visions and helping them execute. And they were like, they said under their breath, Well, you have all the responsibility now anyway. And, of course, I don't have the risk if the company was to fail or something like that. But, of course, in the sense that running the day-to-day operation from a very large, you know, profile as far as, you know, all of the things I named earlier from, you know, operations to production and development, license, distribution, social media, all of that. And so I'm very used to juggling those balls and very used to collaborating with the people who are amazing in their respective lanes. So that part I think I feel really good and confident about. But, of course, knowing at the end of the day, Simon, that it all falls on me, that is like something I try not to think about, and we're just going to go with God on this and trust, you know, that our intention, that our talent is going to take us far beyond where we could ever imagine.
And so it goes. The name of the company is called A Few Good Women Productions, and if you want to find out more about what they are up to and where they're going, here's where you go online, afewgoodwomen.com. That's afewgoodwomen.com. And we're going to offer an open invite that, Michelle, with your first project, whoever you're going to be working with, producer, executive, et cetera, we invite them to come on our program and talk about it. That goes for all the other work that you'll be doing with your executive team.
Oh, I happily accept that invitation. Thank you.
All right, you've got it. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the program. Congratulations to you and everybody involved in this new venture and all the greatest with it, and have yourself a wonderful rest of the week and super Easter weekend.
You as well. Thank you to your audience, and thank you, Simon, for having me. I really, truly appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. Same here. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Michelle Sneed, the founder and overseer of A Fugue in Productions, joining us live from West Hollywood, California. Coming up in our next half hour, another female entrepreneur who is taking her work, which started as a website, then a mobile app, now on television through smart TV sets and devices. It's ProfileSports.tv, and Diana Wilson, its founder, will join us live from New Mexico. Plus, classic trivia question segment. Get your thinking caps on. You could be our latest winner. That's all ahead after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the January Jones Show every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. January always has some wonderful things to talk about for both women and men. The January Jones Show every weekday here on Blog Talk Radio. That's 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best beats are always 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Holy Thursday, 2023. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Also, we want to wish all of our Jewish listeners a very happy first full day of Passover. Night number two begins in a few hours. It is now 73 degrees, mostly cloudy here in the Big Apple. At the bottom of the hour, we are still expecting a lot of rain before things part on Friday for a great and glorious, we hope, Easter, Passover, et cetera, weekend. And if you have a question or comment for our guests coming up, give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906, or get into our chat room as LadyDi999 is doing. My next guest, like our first guest last half hour, is also a woman who is getting involved in a new television venture. It actually, the venture has been around for a while, first as a website, then as a mobile app. That venture is ProfileSports.tv, is now running on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and other smart TV products. Joining us live from Dexter, New Mexico, in an internet exclusive, the founder of this service, Diana Wilson. Diana, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
It is a pleasure to have you on, Diana. How long have you been thinking about taking what you've developed as a website, then a mobile app, and make it a television venture?
You know, it was the vision right from the start. I saw this in my head, and, you know, I really believe that God inspires you to do these things, and then he gives you the means to do it. And if you get pointed in the right direction, doors fly open for you. And it's just been one of those opportunities that I never dreamed I would be in sports. I really came at it from a marketing standpoint because that's where it was birthed out of, but I'm following it. My husband is a sports fan. He was an athlete, and he brought his kids through sports, and he saw the value in what we do in recording and live streaming sports and wished he had that for his kids coming up. And so we joined forces and we brought it to life. That started about 10 years ago.
And your service, Diana, is all about the world of both youth sports and amateur sports. What about both of those worlds do you want to showcase to the public?
Well, it's surprising to me how popular the adult men's leagues are. We get viewers from all over the world tuning in on those. One of our leagues that we follow and live stream is Filipino teams, and they are just tuned in from everywhere. We've had other teams that we actually, like, followed around. They were younger boys up to high school age, and they were an elite team. We followed them, and we had, you know, people tuning in from Italy and Spain and Chile. It's just really surprising where people will come from. You know, we started in Arizona because that's where we lived. That was our backyard. And one of the first sports venues that we opened up was the Sporting Chance Center in Tucson. They saw the vision right away. They have 5 courts, and so we stay very, very busy with them. And then a year later, we added Chandler, Arizona. And as you mentioned, now we're in New Mexico. That's That one's more of a personal visit, but we're hoping to open up the Texas market, and we just follow the opportunities, and we install our cameras wherever we make a relationship with a multi-use sports center. So, you know, oftentimes the youngers, we see ourselves as like the next ESPN, but for the little, just starting out, all the way on up to junior college, and then the adult league men's games, and women's games.
In fact, I'm sorry, Dan. In fact, you term what you're doing being a wholesome sports sanctuary. How?
Well, you know, ESPN, for example, and many sports entities have, I think, become just too political. And we need a safe place that's just for the kids. You know, I don't want, like, Viagra ads running on my station. I don't want to promote unhealthy things, products. So we're careful about who we select as our sponsors, and it needs to be family-friendly. I'm hoping to build a channel that's way more than just sports, but an inspirational place where families can go and watch maybe old sports movies, those inspirational documentaries that, you know, always has like a thread back to sports or features an athlete, but has a good message with it. And so that's what I'm trying to build.
I was going to ask this later on, but since you brought it up, I'll do it now. Do you see this channel ultimately doing things like unscripted and scripted television series about youth and amateur sports? In fact, Disney Plus today launched a long-wave project called The Crossover that deals mm-hmm. with a youth basketball situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very much so. I'm really wanting to see, you know, most of our activity obviously happens on a weekend, you know, when the tournament is going on and what have you. But to hold the audience and keep them coming back for new and fresh information, it, you know, I hope that it grows into shows that segue to the next one. Maybe a different take on a sports desk type thing, maybe a man on the street interviews, following different tournaments, and anything that would inspire other athletes. So I'm always looking for documentaries, that type of thing, that we can feature. Or, you know, if someone's interested in bringing their product, we can help with that. For example, lots of coaches have their own methodology, and they may not know how to, you know, get that showcased. We've got the perfect venue to, you know, especially if it's video, to sell your training package or your process on our platform. So I'm looking for things like that.
ProfileSport.tv or Sports.tv is currently available on a number of different smart TV sets and devices, including Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, and other smart TV products. We're talking with the founder of the service, that's Diana Wilson. She joins us live from Dexter, New Mexico this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us, whether you're celebrating Holy Thursday, other holidays during Holy Week, and to our Jewish listeners, the first full day of Passover, going to night number two tonight. Simon Alba with you live from New York, where it is 73 degrees at this point in the hour, and we invite you to get involved. So interact with our guests. How do you do that? You pick up the phone, you use this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our next episode is Monday. We got some other interesting people coming your way. We have another female entrepreneur that will join us. Actually, she was reset from a couple weeks ago, and that's Marcy Hamilton, the Chief Executive Officer of Tri-Coast Worldwide. She's got two television networks on the air through Smart TV products, Made It Myself Television and Dark Matter TV. We'll find about that and what else is cooking in her growing empire. That's Marcy Hamilton of Tri-Coast Worldwide. That's our lead guest. And then, if you missed our announcement in our first half hour, we will have the Executive Vice President of the Subscription Video On Demand Service, VLK Prime, which is now working on a Sure Tonight scripted series, Terrence Hatter. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I understand that even though your first few weeks, few months on television, you're already working with artificial intelligence. How?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when we started, 10 years ago, we were filming everything manually. And the idea I had was to be like the next Uber but for video. Well, the reality of that was more challenging than I had ever dreamed of. Getting people where they're supposed to be, getting the camera up and running on time, and then all the technical challenges. You know, at first we were filming and then uploading to YouTube, and it took these files are pretty large. It took some wherewithal to get it done. And in order for Profile Sports to scale, we needed to figure out a better way to do it. What my research showed me is there was a new technology emerging using artificial intelligent cameras. And so we found a camera company called Pixelot out of Israel. These cameras used to be secure, or they probably still are, but it's based on security cameras that follow motion. Well, these clever people redesigned it to be appropriate for each individual sport. So when we do volleyball, you know, we'll film volleyball, it'll film it differently than it does basketball, for example. With basketball, it homes in on the ball and it follows the ball and captures all the action. If it's filming baseball, it's going to, you know, look at the bodies on the field and take that in. We do lacrosse. So you just put in what sport it is that it's going to film, and the algorithm responds appropriately. It'll zoom in, it zooms out, it pans back and forth and follows the game, and you would swear that there is a cameraman operating it. But he's never late for work. He's always, you know, on. It's high, high quality. Our cameras are like 6K definition. Beautiful image. Turns off when it's supposed to. The ads run when they're supposed to. So that takes out a whole complexity that we had to deal with before, and now it allows us to scale. And so whenever we bring on a new venue, we install those artificial intelligent cameras, and we're in business.
Is there any particular sport, either youth sport or amateur adult sport, that is particularly, based on the feedback you're getting from viewers, doing very well, that you consider, let's say, flagship or becoming an instant success?
Well, basketball is, you know, most of what we do, because that's what the first few venues that we partnered with, that was their like area of expertise. But these cameras can film anything, outdoors, indoors. It can be football, it can be soccer, it can be, you know, 5 degrees below zero, and they're fine. And in the heat of Arizona summer, they're fine. They're just amazing, resilient cameras. So we can film anything. But what has emerged, is the lion's share of our games are basketball. Second would be volleyball.
Since
so pretty much anything
come
on the
that
air,
goes on. Are you finding? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, pretty much anything that happens within those venues, we can film and handle appropriately. What were you asking?
Are you getting contributions from viewers or from regular people who've seen your website or your Vumble app in terms of getting their videos, whether it's of a youth sports situation or an amateur contest being looked at for presentation on your service?
Oh, thanks for asking that question, because that's another really nice thing about moving to television. Our format allows us to ingest videos from any other camera that produces an RTMP code. So anyone who has already an automated camera like a Pixelot camera can forward the RTMP code to us and be on our channel. you can actually manually do it, but you really want to have a tripod. So if you have a system that can output an RTMP code, we can air it on Profile Sports. And what we do on our channel is for $20 per upload, we will put you on the channel. If you want to do like a more regular basis, we can do $99 a month, and we have, you know, a certain limit up to there. And if you have a more steady flow, we can negotiate from there. And that goes for movies as well. You know, if you're a filmmaker, you can upload your videos, your more longer format videos.
You're ad-supported, and you've got some varying things. Talk about your sponsors and how are they supporting what you're doing?
Thank you for asking that question, too. They are key to our success because what makes us unique, or at least I don't know of any other channel doing this, most of the companies that do live streaming sports at the amateur level do a pay-per-view model where, you know, it might be a subscription that you pay monthly, a nominal fee. But what happens when that's offered? You know, the parents are paying thousands of dollars for their kids to play in club ball. And the notion that you've got to pay another, it doesn't matter what it is. You got to take out your credit card to also get your video. It's just like another thing that you end up really reaching a small percentage of your audience that way. So our notion from the very beginning was to go 100% sponsor supported so that everybody watches. And I mean, everybody watches, they share it with their friends and family. And that's why we get viewers from all over the world and all over the country. What really opened it up for us was our sponsorship with Dave & Buster's. They, in our local area, so it's all the Arizona Dave & Buster's pooled together to do a major sponsorship for us. And what they asked us to do was to do watch parties. So the first one we did was just really a fantastic success because what we did was we had the watch party going on, but we also did sort of a telethon, and the fundraising is for the teams themselves. So the more money they raised, you know, the fewer car washes and whatever else they had to do. And, you know, it was the funnest fundraiser ever because who doesn't want to watch their games that they played earlier, interviews with coaches, eat a hamburger, and make money doing it? So that was a fantastic combination. We also have Whataburger, Napa Day Auto Parts, Hampton Inn with the Focus Hospitality people. Just they've been great sponsors over the years. And, you know, I think this is a model that will be very successful and help us scale.
When you talk with an advertiser like Napa, which is one of the largest auto supply part chains in the country, or Dave & Buster's, or a growing national chain like Whataburger, if they are sponsoring local youth or amateur sports events, do you invite them to, let's say, contribute footage that, you know, here is this sports event, X Place, sponsored by, you know, brought to you by Dave & Buster's, or brought to you by Whataburger, or brought to you by Napa?
Oh, there's all kinds of sponsorship benefits that they get. Yes, they. What we do is we'll take their commercials, and it works like pre-roll, similar to how YouTube does it, where you've got, you know, a 30-second spot. We kind of limit our commercials to 15 seconds and 30 seconds because what ends up happening is, you know, these sponsors, you're seeing the same commercials over and over while we have maybe five or six different commercials for each of our sponsors, and we rotate them. You know, when you're a fan, you're going to be seeing these commercials. So we keep the audience is really thrilled to have it, so they don't mind watching a short commercial. That's one of the many, many benefits. But they also get clickable sliders. So if they've got a, you know, on our channel 24/7, if somebody's tuning in, they're looking for their game, they can click on any of our banner ads, and it's going to take you right to the sponsor's landing page or website. So that's pretty cool. We also have, like, lobby monitors in our venues. So their commercial spots are playing on a loop along with, like, highlight reels and things that, you know, different offers and what's coming up next and get ready for the tournament 3 weeks from now, or, you know, sign up is happening in 2 weeks. So those announcements are looping on lobby monitors. So that's another way that their message gets across, as well as, you know, physical banners in the gym and pretty much anything they can think of. It can be tastings if we've got a product. So if they can imagine it and it's, like, interactive, we can make it happen.
Coming up before the top of the hour, we've got our latest classic trivia question. Last time that we are offering it on this program, so get your thinking caps on, because we have two nice prizes for you if you're first to the correct answer. Stay tuned. That's coming up before the top of the hour. Diana, in terms of now that you're on as a television service, are you getting proposals for possible TV series? And also, are there plans to, let's say, go to New York, go to Los Angeles, and maybe do a presentation for press or for advertisers to encourage more people to watch the service and more advertisers to be involved?
Yes. Actually, every now and then the phone rings and we'll get a call from an ad agency who wants to do something in a specific venue. We've got a partnership that's growing in New Jersey that has 4 venues and 9 new cameras that may be coming on. And so that opens up a lot of new opportunities.
And how are you getting the word out that the service is now a television service? I know you came out with a press release late last month, but what other ways are you using to try to build up a viewer base so that more advertisers be involved with you, more press cover you, whether it's general press or whether it's press from various sports entities?
Yeah, the press releases are very valuable, and I want to thank you for this opportunity. And of course, your mention, the usual other ways, all the key, you know, social media platforms, we do that. We do some geofencing around the venues that we're at. But you know what our best sales force is? The people who come to the venues. So when we select a partner, a venue partner, we really want venues that have regional and national tournaments. So what happens is these teams fly in. Hopefully they're staying in the Hampton Inn or one of our Focus hotel, hospitality hotels. They experience this free live streaming service. You know, they're just not used to seeing that. They're used to having to pay for that. So they're encouraged to share it. When they do, they go home, they're planting seeds for us in cities all over the country. And that's how this is growing, word of mouth and sharing. That's our best advertising.
Wherever you are around the country or around the world, you can check out ProfileSports.tv now on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and other smart TV sets and devices, and hopefully down the road, multi-channel bundles. So anyway, that's how you can do it now. And if you want more details about the service, you can go to their website, which has been around for quite some time. It's ProfileSports.tv. That's ProfileSports, all one phrase, .tv. ProfileSports.tv started as a website, then a mobile app, now it's a television service, available 24/7 on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and other smart TV sets and devices with multi-panel bundles. I'm sure that distribution to come. Diana Wilson, the founder of ProfileSports.tv, thank you very much for joining us on this Thursday afternoon. Congratulations on getting your TV version off the ground, and hopefully many more great years of doing it and expanding it and serving not only viewers, but also the youth and amateur sports world.
Thank you, Simon. It's been a pleasure.
Same here, Diana. Take care. Have a wonderful Easter weekend ahead.
Hey, thank you. Same to you. And happy Passover.
Thank you. Deeply appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Diana Wilson, the founder of ProfileSports.tv, joining us live from Dexter, New Mexico. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And this is the last time we're going to be offering this question, which we offered for the last 2 weeks or so. If you know the answer to the question, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win two prizes. Two NBC Universal Supply notepads. And we mentioned this on our episode yesterday, one of the great, now that's what I call music CDs, with wonderful songs by the likes of Taylor Swift, Shawn Mendes, Bruno Mars, Maroon 5, Katy Perry, Selena Gomez, and Lady Gaga, and many, many other people. And it's all yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the 1994 U.S. Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. Name the 1994 U.S. Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. If you know the answer, you know what to do. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you email, please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you are a previous guest or a previous winner of this segment, you are not eligible. Everyone else, you are. Once again, here's that question. Name the 1994 U.S. Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. So if you know that answer, don't wait. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address so that if you are the first with the correct answer, we get the prize out to you ASAP. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow, Good Friday, at Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. You are tuned in to Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the long-running audio program and podcast about where TV is at and where it's going. And we come to you usually Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and Vevo. And we're also carried on lots of great podcast sites and platforms, from Odyssey to Spotify to iTunes to iHeartRadio's Podcast Network to Apple and Google Podcasts and many, many more. So check us out anytime you like on podcasts over this wonderful Good Friday, Easter week, and Passover weekend. And remember, you can also check us out at our webpage. That's tomorrowbetelevised.com, tomorrowbetelevised.com. And when you do, if you have a question about the world of television or any of the guests and topics we cover, put it in the question box you'll find on the homepage. And if I get use your question on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. That's, again, tomorrowbetelevised.com, tomorrowbetelevised.com. Our next episode is on Monday, and again, joining us will be the Chief Executive Officer of the fast-rising plumbing service provider Tri-Coast Worldwide, Marcy Hamilton. Already two networks on the air, Made of Myself TV, which is about to be the new DIY, and DarkMatter.tv is a genre-oriented service. Be very interested to see if they decide to get into original programming. We'll find out from Marcy on Monday. And also, the Executive Vice President of BLK Prime, the subscription video on demand service already available on smart TV sets and devices. They're now working on the Suge Knight scripted series that we talked about in our news notes section at the top of the program. Terrence Hatter, Executive Vice President of BLK Prime, he will join us on Monday. That's all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Smart TV Televised. When we come back after the top of the hour, we are going to speak with one of the most prolific people who does work on television about TV and in book form about TV. He's got a brand new book called Retroactive Television, and he's also putting together an Elizabeth Montgomery Retro Special that'll be on Reels TV on April 26th. Herbie J. Pilato will join me live from Cerritos, California, as we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio, speaker, and tunein.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on BTR, it's the 19th hole. I'm sure they have a lot to say about the first round of the Masters. Go Tiger. So remember, that's the 19th hole tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to Tomorrow Be Televised on our special Holy Thursday, first full day of Passover, 2023 edition. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Avon with you live from Nueva York, 73 degrees, partly sunny, cloudy skies here in the Big Apple. At the top of this hour, we are still expecting a lot of rain overnight, and hopefully it gets away from us on tomorrow morning, and then we are in for a great Good Friday and Easter weekend, and I hope that's the same for you wherever you are. Any requests or comments for our guests ahead? Well, give us a call. Here's the number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. 652-2906. The number's good anyway, or catch us across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And our chat room is still in business. We have a couple of people in the room already, and we'd love to get you too. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the promo is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, and other people live with you. And joining us live in a moment or two, from Cerritos, California, wonderful city in that part of that golden state, is someone who has been around a long time writing about television in book form or doing specials about TV in various places. He is the writer of a brand new book called Retroactive Television. I have one of his books, by the way, which he did back in 1995, The Kung Fu Book of Wisdom, wonderful book about that great TV series. That incidentally, let's see, 72, 82, 92, 02, 20, 50 years. 50th anniversary of Kung Fu, I believe, this year from Warner Brothers. And anyway, he did a great book on that. His newest book is called Retroactive Television, and he is doing a brand new special for Reels Channel that premieres on August 26th, and it's all about the wonderful actress, star of Bewitched, Elizabeth Montgomery. So now joining us live, he is prolific and he is great, Herbie J. Pilato. Hi, Herbie. Great to have you here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Actually, the special is April 16th on Reels. Not in August, so it's on in about a week.
All right. Well, great. We'll get to that shortly. But first of all, tell us about your new book, Retroactive TV. What's it all about?
Well, you know, for years I have always just loved classic TV like so many of us. And there's a great message to it, in my view, that there have been people in the world who became doctors because of Marcus Welby. People in the world became attorneys because of Perry Mason. Families learned to communicate more productively because of the Brady Bunch, Father Knows Best. So this positive social influence really that has been a thread in all of my books about all the books that I've written about various TV shows. But I wanted always to do one book complete that offered an in-depth perspective on general classic TV history and the positive influence on society. And Retroactive Television is that.
Is there a connective link in terms of impact between all the shows you cover in the book?
Actually, there's a connective link of all of my books. Bewitched is about, to me and to Elizabeth Montgomery, it's about prejudice, about two different people who loved each other despite those differences. Kung Fu is about prejudice, an Asian in a Western world. Life Goes On is about prejudice. Corky, who had Down syndrome, and Chad Lowe, who played Jesse McKenna, who was stricken with AIDS. It's about prejudice. The $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman from my Bionic book. It's about prejudice. Jamie and Steve, as played by Lee Majors and Lindsay Wagner, played these characters who were half man, half woman, half machine. And they felt ostracized, and they didn't feel like they belonged in society. So there is a running theme of prejudice throughout all of my books, and that prejudice theme is one of the themes that I explore in Retroactive Television.
Lady Di 999 has rejoined our chat room. She was with us in our second half hour. Thanks for coming back. If you have a question or comment for Herbie, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. In putting this book together, Herbie, was there a theme or a concept that didn't come top of mind at the beginning of putting this together and then sort of came through? It's sort of like, wow, what a surprise.
Yeah. You know, that happens a lot. It happens probably with every writer or creative type individual who, you know, creates a product and they have a vision for it, and then it kind of like grows and changes along the way. Yeah, I didn't really expect to think that I would explore the positive impact of Baywatch, for example, but that show has a positive impact. It has taught people how to save lives, and not just at the beach, but in any kind of, medical emergency. It's really kind of an amazing series. You know, it's cloaked in beautiful people and beautiful oceans and beautiful scenes, but it's really a wonderful series that offers a positive instruction, just like Emergency does, but you don't really look at both of those shows in the same way.
Herbie, you there?
I'm here.
There we go. Okay, we had you blank for a couple moments. You're one of those writers who doesn't just do one book about a particular television series. You do several. I mean, you've done at least two on Kung Fu. You've done several on Bewitched. You've done other topics like Mary Tyler Moore and so forth. Why do you do that? Is there something that so you don't get in the first book that you finally were able to flesh out in the second?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, that's the answer. But number one, I just always loved Bewitched. And when I wrote the first Bewitched book, I knew that one day I would want to write a biography of Elizabeth. So when I started writing the biography on Elizabeth, I handed like 800 pages into my publisher, and they said, Herbie, this is a little big. You got to take it down a notch. So I said, okay, how about we take this part of the book that's really an appendix, and that we just make that a separate book. So I didn't plan on doing two books about Elizabeth Montgomery, but that's ultimately what happened because I wrote too much in the first book. And kind of the same thing happened with the Kung Fu Book of Kane and the Kung Fu Book of Wisdom. I first wrote the Kung Fu Book of Kane, and I wanted to include the Kung Fu Book or the Wisdom part as like an appendix. And again, my publisher said, you know what, why don't we split this up into two different books? So I didn't set out to write several books on those shows. It just that's just how it turned out.
Our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, Herbert J. Pilato. He is a very prolific writer and TV maker about all things television. His latest book is called Retroactive Television, which explores the positive social impact of classic TV series. And he's also the executive producer and writer, co-writer, of the brand-new documentary Elizabeth Montgomery, A Big Witch's Life. That will premiere on Reels Channels Sunday, April 16th. And Herbie is with us live from Three of California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Wherever you are, we're glad you're with us as well. Happy Holy Thursday, Ramadan. And, of course, our Jewish listeners, happy first full day of Passover. Sam Apple, I'm with you live from New York. 75 degrees at this point in the hour. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Herbie, I think when you really get into Elizabeth Montgomery, and I hope your specialty covers this, that there's a lot more to this incredible actress than just Bewitched.
Oh, absolutely. And first and foremost, I did want to say that the Reels channel has been terrific in helping with this amazing documentary that was executive produced by as well AMS Pictures and co-written by Sarah Kashaw. She's just an amazing writer. And I wanted to make clear that it's not just me. It is a group effort to have brought that documentary on the air. And everybody is just so tremendously wonderful associated with it. As to Elizabeth, she was a very complex person. You know what? Just like the rest of us. I am a complex person. Anyone who works their butt off every day and struggles and tries to do the best they can, you know, to make this world a better place, that's not an easy task. So that means anyone who's in the public eye, whatever issues that they might have are always magnified. So someone like Elizabeth, who's in the public eye, really doesn't have any more issues than the rest of us, but because she's in the public eye, those issues are magnified. She had a father issue with her, Robert Montgomery, who was an amazing actor, who was very demanding on her, and her relationship with him really set the pace for the rest of her life.
And if you divide up her career on television, there's like several stages. First of all, she made her TV debut, I believe, on her father's TV series, Robert Montgomery Presents, was one of the longest-running anthology stories in the 1950s. She did that other anthology shows, including a memorable episode of Twilight Zone with Charles Bronson called Two. Also did the Death Waltz episode of One Step Beyond, written by John Newland. Then came Bewitched. And then came her work in different made-for-TV movies and miniseries, especially an incredibly complex performance as the notorious Lizzie Borden.
That's correct. And that, yes, and the great thing about Elizabeth and what a lot of people don't know is indeed she did those shows you mentioned before, Bewitched. She made over 200 guest appearances on other TV shows before Bewitched came along. She did three feature films. The last of which is where she met her director husband, future director husband, William Asher, who went on to do Bewitched with her. And then after Bewitched, as you say, she ultimately became the queen, the first queen of TV movies, long before Valerie Bertinelli, long before Jacqueline Smith, long before Lindsay Wagner. And all of those beautiful women are terrific, but Elizabeth Montgomery was there first. And that legend of Lizzie Borden that she did, based on the Lizzie Borden character, who allegedly was a distant cousin of Elizabeth's in real life, that was the most shocking thing, I think, that any general mainstream classic TV actress ever did. And she loved doing that movie. She loved shocking the audience. She loved proving that she could do more than Samantha, even though she proved that for 200 episodes of various guest spots before Bewitched. And it also represents her relationship with her dad in a strange way. When her father found out that she did that, was going to do that movie, Lizzie Borden, he goes, "Oh, you would." Now, what he meant by that was that Elizabeth was not happy when her dad divorced her mother, and Lizzie Borden was not happy when her father divorced her mother. And Lizzie Borden took an axe and, you know, gave 40 whacks or whatever it is to her father and her stepmother. And so, you know, Robert Montgomery, when he found out that Elizabeth was going to do this movie, he's like, uh-huh. Okay, so what are you saying here, Lizzie? Which is, by the way, she was known to her close family members and friends as Lizzie in real life.
Incidentally, when you're putting a special like that together for Reels with your colleagues, how much do you balance out Montgomery's career? Because you have so much before Bewitched, you have Bewitched, and then you have after Bewitched. So there's like so much
right.
to share the work from.
Yes. Well, we definitely wanted to center on Bewitched. But we do not ignore films or her early TV roles or her post-Bewitched movies. And she was going to do Deadline for Murder as a regular series where she played the Miami journalist. And that, you know, she was in really negotiations to do it as a monthly series, and then she died. But we cover the full spectrum, but we focus on Bewitched.
Incidentally, little anecdote about Two, the episode of Twilight Zone she did with Charles Bronson. One of the amazing things about that episode, written and directed by a wonderful talent that more people should know about, named Montgomery Pittman, did a lot of great work in television, both as writer and as a director in the 50s and 60s, is that you would think that Elizabeth Montgomery would play the quiet type, the pacifist type, and Charles Bronson would be the strong, husky, you know, angry young person or angry person. And it's the opposite. And I understand that from Montgomery Pittman's widow, Marita, in the Twilight Zone companion, Mark Spatzikrio, Mark was on our guest on our show over a year ago, that Elizabeth Montgomery really wanted to make her character really haggard, really like, you know, this very strong, ruthless woman. And she had to be stopped like, you know, don't put on so much makeup. Don't put on so, you know, and all that. And apparently it was because she was, as Marita recalls, she was so dedicated to her craft, particularly that episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She loved, again, doing very different roles. And that character, because of the black hair, you know, kind of always reminded me as like shades of Serena on Bewitched, where she played Samantha's twin cousin, who was a brunette, you know, who was also very different than Samantha. Elizabeth Montgomery played a biracial character on an episode of 77 Sunset Strip in like 1961 or something. I mean, biracial, half African-American, half Caucasian in 1961 on television. I mean, come on. She was a groundbreaking, trailblazing actress, and she was nominated several times for an Emmy for Bewitched, never won, and she should have. And she was nominated several times for her TV movies, never won, and she should have. But she didn't play the Hollywood game. She didn't do the networking. She didn't go to the parties. Certainly, you know, she would have loved to win an Emmy, but it wasn't the end-all to her. Yeah, maybe she was a little bit upset when Mary Tyler Moore kept on winning those Emmys on the Dick Van Dyke Show, but he really didn't give a flying fig.
Talk about Kung Fu. It's been 51 years, almost 51 years since that series premiered. First the made-for-TV movie on the Movie of the Week on ABC, and then the 3 years of that series. I believe really is the most underrated television series ever. I think Jerry Thorpe, the executive producer and director of that program, who a lot of people should know more about, did a sensational job with that series. And even though it's gotten criticism for David Carradine being the lead role rather than Bruce Lee or an Asian American, give credit to Thorpe and Warner Brothers and everybody involved that they did cast a lot of Asian Americans and other people of color throughout that series.
Well, first of all, absolutely 100% correct. And may I say, too, that Bruce Lee did not create Kung Fu. Kung Fu was created by Ed Spielman and Howard Friedlander in the 1960s. It was supposed to be a feature film. It didn't happen. They turned it over to the TV department, just as Bruce Lee brought out an idea that he had to Warner Brothers, and he also auditioned for Kung Fu. So he didn't get the part. But he didn't get the part because he was too tough for the role, and the character of Kane was always Eurasian, always half American, always half Asian, and they needed a softer type performance that Bruce Lee was not capable of giving. And I'm so glad that you said that about the actors, the Asian American actors that Kung Fu really showcased in non-stereotypical roles. And it really upsets me when, you know, the show does get criticisms because that show did more for Asian American actors in non-stereotypical roles than any other show in history at that time. It also introduced mainstream America to Asian thought in a very big and large way, long before Bruce Lee, you know, did the martial arts thing. And I may say too that Bruce Lee, he decided to leave America, he was rejected by Kung Fu, and it was because of that rejection that he went on to become this martial arts movie legend, that he returned to his homeland to do that. So, okay, David Carradine was American, but at the same time, the world was not ready for a lead actor as an Asian American. It just wasn't going to happen. Guy Lee, who is the casting director for that show, made it very clear to me, who was Asian American, by the way, how much that show did for Asian American actors and how it presented them with wonderful in-depth characterizations that, again, were not stereotypical.
And something else about this show that I think you should get more credit for was the fact that it introduced a lot of cinematography techniques in television. It dared to do some things that had never been done before, to deal with themes like prejudice. And one of my favorite episodes of the show, and I'm thrilled it won the Emmy Award for Thorpe as a director, was An Eye for an Eye, which is known as in your book as the No Revenge episode. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
For Warner Brothers, for ABC, for everyone involved in that series, to do an episode where you declare to America in 1 hour, nobody has the right to take revenge on anybody. I mean, that is an amazing statement, a declaration to make for a television series.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And you have to remember too that Kung Fu was introducing the mainstream in America to Asian thought, just as President Nixon was holding historic talks with China's Chairman Mao. So it was all kind of happening simultaneously. And yes, but just to have that mystified or mystical type character of on a weekly basis, a monk every week espousing this incredible wisdom, it was amazing, and people loved it. It was cloaked in like an action adventure series, but it really, really wasn't that at all. It was about a monk. It was about forgiveness, how he had murdered somebody in the emperor's son in China, the emperor's nephew had killed his favorite master Po, and he retaliated. And out of shame, he fled the country like a fugitive, because that's really what it was in many ways. You know, he came to America fleeing the emperor, the royal family that was sending people after him to, you know, to get him. So there's just so much going on with the show, and it was of its time. It was only for 3 years. It couldn't go a fourth. It couldn't go a fifth. It just wasn't meant to be. It was just 3 years.
And what in those 3 years, it introduced, Herbie, people to a more peaceful, philosophical way of life, or a guiding star, if you will, about how to live. And I also want to give credit, by the way, to two other people who were involved in that, three other people involved in that series. John Furrier Jr., who was the executive story consultant, who wrote the Eye for an Eye episode, which at the Emmy Awards, when Jerry Thorpe got the Emmy for directing, said that he was a poet laureate. He was a marvelous producer. He also did Insight. He did Apple's Way. Did a lot of other great shows. Very, very, really morally focused, if you will.
And a sweetheart of
one of the greatest music scores any TV series ever had. Why he never got the Emmy Award for it, a nomination, is beyond me, personal thought, because that man did one of the great, great, great scores of all time.
Absolutely.
And he made it work so beautifully.
Absolutely. And John Furrier, what a sweetheart of a guy he was. I mean, he could have, talk about a movie star, he could have been a movie star himself. He looked like Cary Grant, and he was so soft-spoken, so intelligent. He was one of the best interviews I've ever had. He was just a wonderful human being and a genius.
Yeah, absolutely. On any show he worked on, Inside Kung Fu, other shows, he brought morals, he brought a sense of dignity and purpose to his work, whether it was writing or producing. One of the great, a talent in television that should be more known to the general public. John Furrier Jr., just amazing. I want to give credit to Richard Rawlings and Jack Wolf, who are the cinematographers on the show. They worked with Jerry Thorpe to do a lot of very unique things like rack focus, like, you know, Kane starting off coming out of the sun and going into in the opening credits, going into the sun at the end credits, the use of sunlight, double exposure, triple exposure. Just a lot of great cinematography techniques that now are standard in television, but first became and it was introduced on Kung Fu.
Absolutely. The muted cinematography, you know, before that, Westerns looked like MGM musicals, and Kung Fu changed all of that. Clint Eastwood took the style in, what was it, 1991 with Unforgiven. You know, everybody said, ooh, that's so different. Well, Kung Fu did that first. It was muted colors. It had never been seen on a Western before Kung Fu.
We have a few more minutes with Herbie J. Pilato. He is the writer of the brand-new book, Retroactive Television, and he is also the executive producer and co-writer of the brand-new Reels Channel special coming up on April 16th. That's a Sunday night. Elizabeth Montgomery of Bewitched Live. If you have a question or comment, many minutes with Herbie, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up in our final half hour, we will give you one last time to answer our classic trivia question for two great prizes. And we'll also have a very, unfortunately, special announcement we have to make about the people we were hoping to have on in our final half hour and why they will not be on. So please stay tuned for that. And we will encourage you to watch a very special series that premiered last Sunday on Brigham Young University Television, BYU TV. Is there a classic TV show, Herbie, that you haven't written about, or whether in book form or for a television special, that you would like to do?
A couple, yeah. I think I'm kicking an idea around of doing a Frasier book. I'd love to do a Reba book about Reba McEntire's wonderful sitcom that, to me, was the last great family sitcom, just like Frasier, to me, was the last great sophisticated sitcom. So those two. But, you know, I'm so pleased with what I did with Retro. And, you know, now that I have a Christmas TV memories book coming out that's going to focus on the classic TV specials of Christmas through the 60s and 70s, and that will be out 2024. I have a Sean Connery biography coming out in October for the 40th anniversary of Never Say Never Again. I just finished a Diana Rigg biography, and that will be out sometime in 2024. And I'm presently working on a Lucas Spielberg book about their biggest films. So I've moved a little bit away from television and yet still there. Anything that's pop culture related that has had a positive influence on society, I'm there.
On the Christmas special book, what's in your top five, top ten of Christmas television specials?
Oh, geez. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The House Without a Christmas Tree, The Miracle on 34th Street, the TV version from 1973, The Homecoming with the Waltons, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, It Happened One Christmas, which was the TV movie remake of It's a Wonderful Life that Marlo Thomas did. I interviewed her from my book already. A Christmas Carol, that half-hour animated version from 1971 that was on TV. I just love that one. I'm going to be talking with the actor who voiced Tiny Tim on that. So those kinds of things. I'm not going to be able to cover all the specials or all the episodes that were ever done on Christmas shows or variety specials. I'm just going to pick 10 from each category and offer an in-depth study of that and why those shows were special, because you don't see those specials anymore today. You know, where's the fake snow that we enjoyed on the Bob Hope specials? Where is that kind of thing today? You don't see it. Everybody breaks the fourth wall or third wall, whatever the heck it is. They look into the camera as they do their scenes. It's like, why are you doing that? Why are you destroying the magic? 60s, 70s TV did not do that. 60s, 70s TV, if you watched a Bob Hope special or if you watched a TV movie, nobody's going to be breaking the fourth wall and talking to the camera. You know, that destroys the magic. So I'm very excited about that book. I'm excited about all my books because I'm very grateful for the work. I'm very, very – I'm grateful for all the things that I've been able to do. And I have not done it alone, just like that Bewitched documentary. I didn't do this alone. AMS Pictures, amazing. Sarah Gashaw, amazing writer. I mean, Reels, all those people, they worked with me and I worked with them. It was a team effort.
Mm-hmm. Happy mentioned the Christmas Carol animated film, which was on ABC, which was done by Richard Williams, one of the most brilliant animators around. And Alistair Sim, who was in the movie of Christmas Carol,
yes.
Classic unto itself, did the voice of Scrooge, and it was a marvelous,
yeah.
marvelous special. I hope you have Charlie Brown Christmas in there, because that is a sensational story and one of the greats, and it opened up animation in prime time in a lot of ways, but also it was a special that CBS did not believe in. They thought it was going to bomb. They didn't trust Charles Schulz. They didn't trust it being a Peanuts thing. They didn't trust the jazz score by Vince Guaraldi. They didn't trust Bill Melendez and the Melendez and what they did, And guess what? It had like half the audience watching TV at the time watch the initial premiere back in 1965, and it's now become one of the iconic greats.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, talk about giving a spiritual message, right? 1966, Linus is on the stage there telling Charlie Brown the real meaning of Christmas and the nativity scene. I mean, come on. You know, that was amazing.
Incidentally, one more thing before you go, Herbie. What do you think about the fact that YouTube has now become a great repository for classic television series, whether it's drama, comedy, variety, and so on? For example, one of my favorite shows of the 60s, and I wish somebody could do a book on it, is Bob Hope Presents the Chrysler Theater. Wonderful series, four years on NBC, great, great show, classy dramas by all sorts of great writers, won Emmys throughout its run. And now you're seeing those classic episodes, in some cases with the original introductions that were cut off when the show went into syndication by Universal. They're in there, and it's, God, the acting, photography, writing, directing of that particular series, just tremendous.
No, I think it's terrific that there's channels like YouTube and Pluto, too, and, you know, MeTV and Cozy TV. I think it's wonderful that all of those shows are accessible to new generations. What I miss is that the family used to watch one TV together in the living room, and they would experience it at the same time, not on Blu-ray, not on DVD, you know, not on YouTube. And that gets kind of the meaning and the feeling and the enjoyment kind of gets lost in the translation. But I've come to peace to realize finally, that's just the way it is. Things are not going to go back to the 60s and 70s. Everybody's, you know, going to have their own TV, their own smartphone, their own, you know, mechanical device and watch TV like it used to and watch TV at their leisure. But the family watching together, those days are gone, sadly.
Heavy J. Pilato's newest book is Retroactive Television. It is now available, I believe, through Amazon.com, BarnesNoble.com, other online retailers, the local bookstores, and his new special, which is coming out on April 16th, Sunday night on Reels Channel, is Elizabeth Montgomery, A Bewitched Life. If you want more details about Herbie's wonderful work for television or in book form, here's where you go online, HerbieJPilato.com. It's HerbieJPilato.com. And for more details about his Reels Channel special, www.reels.com. It's www.reels.com. Again, April 16th, his latest special, which Herbie co-wrote and is an executive producer on. That's Elizabeth Montgomery, A Bewitched Life. Herbie, thank you so much for coming on. It is a pleasure finally have you on here, and we'd love to have you back anytime. It's been a delight all the way.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for supporting and enjoying my work. That means a great deal, and God bless you, and God bless all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Deeply appreciate it. Herbie, all the greatest. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Herbie J. Pilato joining us live from Cerritos, California. When we come back, we will tell you why the guests we had planned for this coming half hour will not be with us. And one more chance at our classic trivia question of the week, all after we pause, after the bottom of the hour, for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love Star Trek, any version of it, check out Trek Talking today at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Star Trek Picard is the subject today. That's Trek Talking every week today, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final moments of this special Holy Thursday 2023 edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Son, I've been with you live from New York. We have had a fantastic time over the last 90 minutes. Three outstanding guests. Thanks to everybody who's been trying to get in with phone calls and chat rooms. We do appreciate you. And Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, has just joined our chat room also. So you want to get your thoughts in, put in the room, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. This month is World Autism Month. And April 2nd was World Autism Awareness Day. And over the last week, there have been two major breakthroughs to showcase autism and its impact on society on television. If you remember, last Friday, we brought you an exclusive interview with Bill Motz and Bob Ross, the creative executive producers of The Ghost and Molly McGee, which made second season premiere last Friday on Disney Channel, then on Disney Plus, and introduced an autistic character for the very first time, voiced by one of the actors, herself autistic, of the acclaimed show from last year on Prime Video, As We See It, put together by Jason Kadams of Friday Night Lights and Parenthood fame. This past Sunday, BYU TV, still the only linear television network put together by a college or university on a national level, started what may be its most groundbreaking series yet in its history, A Kind of Spark. It is based on the 2021 best-selling book by Ellie McNichol, who is autistic, and it is set in the present day in the 16th century, and is about a trio of young women who are dealing with autism and the impact it has on their lives. The show premiered, as I mentioned, on Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time on BYU TV, which we have on cable and satellite. There's also an app that's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We had planned this half hour to showcase this series, which has not gotten a lot of attention, whether in RottenTomatoes.com, with critic reviews and audience reaction, or other places on the web and elsewhere. We were scheduled to have with you Ellie McNichol, the author of the original novel, Anna McCleary, who developed the series for television and is one of the key writers on the series, and Lola Blue, one of the three autistic actresses who play key roles as sisters in this series. I am sorry to let you know that at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, 9:30 a.m. Pacific, today, a.m. Pacific, excuse me, that we received word from BYU TV through their publicist that all three of our guests will not be with us this half hour. And before I express disappointment and elaborate why this happened, I want to make two things very, very clear. Number one, the decision to not be on today was made not by BYU TV, but by Nine Story Media Group. That's one of the two production companies, along with LS Productions, that made this series. And secondly, the decision not to be on was not because of this program, because of being of the series being showcased here, yours truly, what we would ask or not ask, anything of that nature. In fact, the people at Nine Story were really delighted we were going to showcase this program today, and so was BYU TV. What happened was basically a domino effect, and it started with Ellie McNichol, who, as I mentioned a moment ago, is autistic. She had some concerns about, and some sensitive concerns being in her situation, about how she was going to come across on this program. She wasn't sure that she would be able, in her situation, to handle this interview, even though she was all for it. She dropped out first, and then Anna McCleary, who is not autistic, decided, I don't want to be the spokesperson, really, for the show if Ellie cannot be on. So she dropped out. And finally, Lola Blue, one of the three actresses, again, autistic, dropped out as well. And we could not get somebody else or the other actresses to take her place. So it was like a domino effect, one after the other after the other, and that led to their absence from today's program, this half hour. I want you to know that I'm disappointed deeply. BYU TV is disappointed deeply. We totally get the rationale for what happened. Nobody's wrong here. I get that when, and I want you to know that in the past we have had people who are deaf, who are hard of hearing, who are blind, who have other disabilities, been on this program. We've never had an issue with it. We're sensitive to what's going on. We had the deaf couple who did the Sundance Now series just close a couple of years ago. We had their interpreter on the program. When Jade Bryant, the filmmaker, wanted to get involved in television, we met at the New York Television Festival. We had her interpreter on the program. No issues. So I totally get the understanding they have. I totally get the sensitivity. So does BYU TV. And I want you to know that we're not making anybody wrong here. We're not making Nine Story wrong or LS Productions wrong. And we have invited everybody, the guests who are going to have on, or anyone else from A Kind of Spark, that if they would like to come on this program during the run of the series or shortly after, they are more than welcome. Open door. And again, we're sorry that we publicized this. We let Respectability, the organization that is opening up opportunities for people who are disabled, both on camera and off camera in TV and film. We let them know that we were hoping to have our guests from a Kind of Spark on this program. And we're sorry that we couldn't deliver. We really, really are. And again, the door is wide open for a return visit, for a reset engagement. Anytime while the program is on the air and or when the show completes its run on BYU TV. In the meantime, we really encourage you to catch A Kind of Spark. Again, you can find it this Sunday night, the next episode, 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific on BYU TV. It's available on cable and satellite, so check your local places for where it is carried in your area. It is also running on the BYU TV app. It's available on smart TV sets and smart devices. For more details about the program, you can go to byutv.org. That's byutv.org. A Kind of Spark, next episode, this Sunday night on BYU TV. And we wish everybody involved in making the series all the very best. And we would like to encourage RottenTomatoes.com, please cover this program. It is a groundbreaking program that deserves to be seen, I believe, by the widest possible audience. So RottenTomatoes.com, if anybody that from out there is listening, great website. Please put A Kind of Spark on, put down the critic reviews, and put down the audience reaction. Everybody involved will deeply appreciate it. So before we leave you, we want to once again give you the classic trivia question of the week. It's our last time we're offering it. Again, if you're first with the correct answer, you will win two NBC Universal notepads and a wonderful CD collection in the great Now That's What I Call Music series with great songs by the likes of Lady Gaga, Julia Michaels, The Weeknd, Maroon 5, Bruno Mars, Shawn Mendes, Taylor Swift, and others. Here's the question. Name the 1994 U.S. Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. Name the 1994 U.S. Network series adapted from novels by William Shatner. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04 simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from, your mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. And incidentally, one more time, we will invite the folks behind Herbie J. Pilato's Retroactive Television book to offer that a copy or two as an upcoming classic trivia prize. If we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook on Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT. If you're a previous winner or a previous guest in this program, you are not eligible. Everybody else, you are. So get involved, play the game today, and be in there to win. And, of course, all the very best. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today. We really do appreciate them being around and you being a listening post for them. Remember, we're back again on Monday after Easter weekend, and my guests will be from Tri-Coast Worldwide, the folks behind the new plumbing services Make It Myself TV and Dark Matter TV that have on smart TV sets and devices, Chief Executive Officer Marcy Hamilton. And from the subscription video on demand service, also available on smart TV sets and products, Executive Vice President Terrence Hatter. They will both be with us. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, either the rest of today or throughout this Good Friday Easter weekend, Passover weekend, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 at many great podcast platforms, including Spotify, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Odyssey, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and many, many others. And remember, we also have our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. It's tomorrowbetelevised.com, put together by the fine people at onpodium.com. And remember, if you check out our website, there's a question box. If you have a question about the world of television, get it to me through that box, and it's on the home screen. And if you're first with the correct answer, and if we use your question on the air, you, of course, get the credit. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our show today? What do you think about our entrepreneurs, whether it is Michelle Sneed from A Few Good Women Productions or Diana Wilson from the new series, the new network, ProfileSports.tv, and the wonderful author, Herbie J. Pilato. Love to hear. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter on social media anytime you like. We do respond to what you say within 24 hours, and that's because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website supervised by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. All of us at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, our podcast affiliates on our website, wish you and your family and friends a wonderful Good Friday and Easter weekend. To our Jewish listeners, a very happy Passover rest of the week and weekend. And also, anybody celebrating Ramadan, other holidays during this Holy Week, whatever you celebrate, we hope you make it great and you share love, peace, joy, and freedom to you and yours. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you're doing now and then, make it safe, make it great, and do it not only for those you love, but the rest of the world as well. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.